from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Roadshow.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're glad you came back to join us. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can do that by logging on to facebook.com/themusicrowshow, or you can also hit us up on Twitter, @themusicrowshow. If you got any questions you want to chime in, you can just do it right there.
That's right. And remember, you can also listen to past shows, and somebody has been going crazy lately putting all these podcasts on the... On our website, go to themusicrowshow.com and hit the podcast page, and you can hear all sorts of cool stuff.
All sorts of cool things. There you go.
So, my gosh, did you already talk about the Twitters?
We did. Facebook, Twitter, @themusicrowshow. You can just hit us up there.
All right. Well, then why don't you just talk about this this fine gentleman we have with us this hour.
Absolutely. Well, we are thrilled to welcome back to the show hit songwriter Chris Wallen. Many of you already know the story of when Chris first came to town. He was so broke, he'd freeze 29-cent hamburgers from McDonald's so that he could eat for the rest of the week. Well, needless to say, he doesn't have to do that anymore. He can order from the dollar menu now. He's actually upgraded anytime
That's
he
great.
Wants. And that, of course, is due to the many hit songs he has under his belt. Something to Be Proud Of and Speed for Montgomery Gentry, Chrome and I'm Trying for Trace Adkins, Love You If You Can for Toby Keith, Don't Blink for Kenny Chesney, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. So many artists have cut his songs. We'd be here all night if we were listing them out. So let's just cut to the chase and say, Chris Wallen, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thanks for having
all right.
me.
Woohoo! And more importantly... Thank you for bringing Aunt Sandy. Aunt Sandy
yeah.
is here.
Yeah, Aunt Sandy's
Aunt
here with
Sandy's
us.
Sandy's here.
We're excited yeah. about that. So
love that.
She's security.
She's your bodyguard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're really,
violent.
We're happy you're here. I can tell you exactly where I was. I was driving up Rancho California Road in Temecula, California at around 9 o'clock at night to pick my son up from Boy Scouts the first time I heard Speed. And I have certain songs. I just, because I remember driving going, oh my gosh, this song is just fantastic. And I'm always amazed at how music can evoke such vivid memories. So with that in mind, what is your first musical memory?
Musical memory
When did you first become aware of something cool?
Well, you know, when I was 7 years old, my mother made a record in Nashville, and we lived on top of a bar on Broadway called The Turf. And Mom sang at The Turf at night, and that was kind of my first taste of Nashville. And my stepdad was, was a guitar player in Nashville. And, I'd been around music my whole life then, but that was the first time I knew from an early age that there were people writing songs mm-hmm. for a living.
Yeah, you know, even at 7 years old, you were aware of that.
Yes, I was aware. I think that helped me, you know, because a lot of people don't realize that till later on, that the people that are singing on the radio isn't necessarily the people who came up with a song.
Right.
Yeah.
And but I knew that from an early age, and we stayed there. Mom made a record there, and then I moved back to East Tennessee, and then I came back again right after high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was 31.
Well, you know what?
And, you know,
good
I
for
mean,
you.
Don't judge me. But no. Right after high school, I moved back to Nashville. I lasted 6 months. I ended up working with a bail bondsman, helping him do skip tracing.
Wow, man.
And ended up moving back home again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lasted about 6 months. And now I've been here for 17 years, I guess.
Man.
Third time stuck.
Yeah, third time's a charm.
Well, I almost moved back after I first got here because I used to go play at the Broken Spoke, and your lovely wife Camille was hosting then.
Yes, yeah.
And I remember somebody didn't show up, and she asked some guy to come up on stage, and that turned out to be you. I had I had never met you before, so here I am, fresh, you know, and you're playing all these hits. I'm like, oh man, check please, you know.
Oh, you were on stage with him?
Yeah, I'm the person who was supposed to play with me didn't show up, right. So she threw him up there, and it was like trial by fire. It was like, wow.
Oh, and that didn't send you home?
It almost sent me home.
You needed to try a little harder.
Yeah.
I bring hope to people.
Yeah.
If this redneck can do it, anybody can.
Like, I hope. Oh, man. So you mentioned your mom. You actually had an experience with the trumpet in fifth grade that kind of almost shattered your dreams of being a hit songwriter.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Have I already told this story?
I don't know.
How did you find out about that?
We have people.
You have people.
We do a lot of research.
I see a lot of research. I thought I saw you outside my window.
Yeah.
By the way, we need to talk about last year's tax return.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And you ought to eat the whole banana before you throw it away. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, the problem was, I emailed them and they lost it. So.
Right.
Emailed it directly to LL@IRS.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, trumpet story.
Oh, yeah,
the trumpet story. I was in, what class was I in? I was in like an English class or some class I didn't want to be in. I remember that. And I got a knock on the door, and there's a teacher that come in and was requesting to talk to me.
Uh-oh.
And my head was going, okay, well, what did I do? You know. So I went out, and it was the music teacher, and they had, about a week before, they had had a tone test in the class where they different tones, and I had evidently scored the highest in the entire school on a tone test.
Okay. Was it just identifying notes or what?
It was just this is higher than this one, or this is, you know.
Okay.
And I was in fifth grade, I think. But that, you know, it was the music teacher and asked me, you're not playing in the band, and do you play an instrument? And at the time, I played guitar. And he said, well, we can't have you out in the band playing guitar. He said, so he lent me his trumpet. He goes, I will let you have my personal trumpet if you'll come and play with the band. Well, he regretted that, I'm sure, because I was terrible. I mean, I used to, my Uncle Johnny had this pond behind this place, and we lived right there, and I was exiled to the pond because I practiced, and I would have to go down to the pond by myself and practice this trumpet, and I never got it.
Catfish are jumping out. Oh, yeah. They're trying to end it all.
Yeah, exactly. And so the fish were saying, you call me crappy.
That's crappie.
Oh, crappie. I want a crappie. So I was just crushed because
How did it end? Did they just say, give me that trumpet back?
It ended with me just giving the trumpet back and saying, what's weird is I never could get the hang of reading music. To this day, the Nashville number system, and I know the basis of that, and I can, do a basic chart, but I just never could get, from my guitar, what I did on my guitar, I never could equate that to the band music.
To what you saw. But you were already playing guitar at that
young age. Oh, yeah. I started playing when I was in Nashville with my mother. Mm-hmm. which was like around, I was 7 or 8, something like that. No kidding. Playing. I should be way better than what I am now.
Oh, man.
Wow. So let's say the third time in Nashville when you got here, we were talking to Bob about this too. Do you remember your first, the first time you ever wrote with a hit writer, maybe someone that you'd really looked up to and you were still really new in town? Do you remember that session? And
yes, I do. I'm trying to remember the guy's name, Robinson. He had had some hits. And at the time I was coming from a job that I was, you know, I was working 60 hours a week.
60, doing what?
65. I was a hydraulic technician, a setup man for hydraulic presses.
Okay.
And
at a die caster or what kind of?
It was at a chain manufacturer.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it was some of our chains were, you know, 120 pounds a link. Jeffrey wow. Chain was the name of it. And so I was working a lot of hours. And when he asked me, and I'll think of his name in a second, but Will Robinson.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Will Robinson, and a great guy. And so they set us up to write, and I had never really co-written before. Mm-hmm. I'd just written by myself. And so he said, so what time do you want to get together? And I said, 8. And he said, in the morning? Are you crazy?
You know, out of your mind?
And I was like, okay, whatever time you want. And I'll never forget it because – I went into write. It was probably 10.
Sure.
And we were writing this song. I remember the name of the song because it was Headlights, I'm Coming Back, Taillights, I'm Gone.
Nice.
Okay.
And we're writing this song and knock on the door. In comes, and I'm trying to remember his name, not Paul Rogers of Bad Company.
Okay.
But the one that took his place.
Okay.
Okay.
The lead singer of Bad Company walks in.
Right. Wow.
Like in Nashville, you know, in Nashville, I just been, and he was talking to Will. Will knew him. And I was just, it floored me, you know. I was like, oh my gosh, you know. So yeah, that was my Will was my first trial. You know, it scared me to death. I come out of there like I have no idea what just happened.
Right. Wow. Well, I love the story that, you know, when first things got going, you actually had kind of a bad day that turned out pretty good when you found out your car was going to be repoed. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, I excuse me. It was, you know, it was one of those times where, you know, I mean, I was completely broke. When I came to town, you know, I had my 401k money from Jeffrey Chain, and I took all it out to move to Nashville, and it was gone. And I had the car, you know, when I actually used to work for a living.
Right. Nice.
So I had this car that had this big payment, and I was, you know, I think a couple of payments behind, and Ford Motor Credit called me and said, we're going to impound your car. We're going to repo your car if you don't get, I think it was $860.
Right.
That might as well have been $1 million. I didn't have $8. And I was calling everybody, and you know, literally I was about to go home, mm-hmm. you know, and when Kingsley, and at the time I used to freeze 29-cent McDonald's hamburgers. I used to buy them 50 at a time, and I could eat all week on, you know, 16 bucks.
Wow.
And if you've never went into a McDonald's and ordered, I used to order 50 hamburgers, a large fry, and a Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke.
Yeah. They always had to go to the manager, you know, Do you mean 50? Yes, I mean
that button isn't here. I don't have that button.
And a Diet Coke, please.
Let's do a cliffhanger.
Okay.
Okay. You've bought the hamburgers. Ford Motor Credit is about to impound your car, and we're going to take a break here on the Music Row Show. How will this end? I'm on the edge of my seat. You're listening to the Music Row Show. We're here with Chris Wallen. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Making this world ill. Can't give forgiveness at the store. Peace is a politician's war. You won't find a revolution in the bottom of a bottle, in the stars of Aristotle. Only answer to the problem is people loving people. That's the enemy of everything that's evil.
Nice. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That is a brand new song. That's People Loving People, co-written by our guest this hour, Chris Wallen. And seems like Mr. Garth Brooks has cut that song. We're keeping our fingers crossed that it actually comes out on the album.
Yeah, definitely.
We don't want to jinx it.
That's right.
So,
but how about that? It's the first time that's been played on the radio?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
How about that?
Love that. So we had a cliffhanger. What happened to save you from this predicament?
Where were we?
Your car was about to go away.
You got a bunch of frozen hamburgers.
Yep.
And, I was calling home. Nobody had any money, and I was about to go back home.
Right.
And at the time, I had been playing songs for a fellow by the name of Kingsley Brock. From King Lizard Music, and he is the king of King Lizard Music.
Okay.
And the Liz comes from Liz Rose,
right?
She's done pretty okay.
Yeah, she's done pretty
she's
good.
All right, yeah, all right.
Taylor written Swift, some songs with Taylor.
Well, they called me. I'd been playing those songs, and they said, "You know what? We really love what you do," and would you come and talk to us about possibly writing songs for us at King Lizard Music? And I come down there and, like I said, I was 800 and I just got the call that, Ford Motor Credit needed $860 or they were repoing my car. Mm. Well, I came down there and talked to Kingsley, and he says, "I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, it was the middle of the month. He said, "We'll say you started at the first of the month, just for fiscal reasons. And I'll give you $400 for your Schedule A." And the Schedule A, for those that don't know it, is pretty much every song I've ever written before.
Before you joined them.
Yes.
Right.
So, I'll give you $400, $250 a week, and we'll say you started at the first of the month, so I can write you a check for $900. Well, I like to never got it, because I didn't have a checking account at the time.
Oh, no.
So I like to have never got it cashed. But I said yes. I took the money. I went to Kroger, I think, at the time. I Western Unioned Ford Motor Credit $860. And the next day was Wednesday, so I went and bought 100 hamburgers.
You were going to eat good that week.
Oh, hey, yeah. I went all out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome. Right in the nick of time. That's great.
Well, we'd love to hear a song, and then we'll talk a little bit more about music here.
This song, I got the idea from this song on Jerry Springer, where I get all my ideas.
Who doesn't?
But I I was flipped through the channels one night. I was going to write with Craig Wiseman the next day, and I didn't have an idea. I didn't have anything. And as I was flipping through, this guy is Jerry Springer. It's the same guy on all of Jerry Springer. I think they, you know, yeah. they just use the same guy every time. But he didn't have a shirt on, and they were booing him from the crowd because he had 10 baby mamas in the crowd or whatever. And he stopped before he got to the stage, and he turned around to the crowd and he says, "Hey, y'all, you can hate me if you want to, but I wish you'd love me because I'm just a man." So I said, "Thank you, Earl." And I wrote this song the next day with Craig, and 5 years go by, nothing. And Trace Atkins cuts it, doesn't make the record. Mm. About another 6 months go by, Toby Keith cuts it, goes number one. So thank you, Earl, wherever you are. I think sometimes war is necessary, and I pray every night for peace on earth, and I hand out my dollars to the homeless, but believe that every able soul should work. My daddy gave me my shotgun that I'll hand down to my son. Plan to teach him everything it means. I'm a man of my convictions. Call me wrong, call me right. I bring my better angels to every fight. And you may not like where I'm going, but you sure know where I stand. So hate me if you want to. Love me if you can. I stand by the right to speak freely, but I worry about what kids learn from TV. Before all this debating turns to angry words and hate, maybe we should just agree to disagree. And yeah, I believe Jesus looks down here and sees us. If you were to ask him, he would say, I'm a man of my convictions. Call me wrong, call me right, but I bring my better angels to every fight. And you may not like where I'm going, but you sure know where I stand. So hate me if you want to. Love me if you can. Yeah, I'm a man of my convictions. Call me wrong, call me right. I bring my better angels to every fight. And you may not like where I'm going, but you sure know where I stand. So go on, hate me if you want to. Love me if you can. If you can.
Nice.
Very nice.
That's a good one. You said, I read this in an interview, that you said, find out what you do best and then do it till you drop. What does that mean from a songwriting standpoint? And what are your strengths? What is it that you found out? Okay, this is my sweet spot.
Well, I always say that, you know, everybody, a songwriter You know, some people think a songwriter is a songwriter is a songwriter, but everybody has their thing. Like they have their strengths and it isn't always, you know, just coming in and being fast. Right. Some people think that writing songs is being able to come in and pop out a song really fast. And
right.
I've never been that guy. I've never been that person. Mm-hmm. And I just think that, you know, there's some songwriters that are great editors, and there's some songwriters that are the lyric spitters, I call them, where they, you know, they can just spit out lyrics, and if there was someone that it's a great editor, you can come out with some great songs, you know, right. And if the chemistry's right, and I just think it all comes down to the song, you know, if you do what you're doing, what you do the best, if you find that magic thing that you do, or hone it, you know, if you hone the skill, you know, I just think it always comes out to the best.
But it makes sense that if you're an editor, that you don't want to be in a room with three other editors. You know,
right?
You really want to try to have that combination, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I mean, you know, it just depends on the chemistry. But you know, there's some people that I write with that I write some of my best songs with people that you really wouldn't put us together,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I know Bob talked earlier about, you know, the track guys and I've been working with, you know, some of those guys, and it's been really, interesting, you know, how, you know, the producers, you know, they hate to be called track guys. Mm-hmm. They hate that name.
They want to be called producers.
Producers, yes, okay.
because they're producing the tracks.
Yes, and it's just interesting to you know, to work with those guys and you know, and the young producer guys that are coming out are so, some of them are just incredibly talented, you know, but I get to put my spin, my you know, I guess my real, you know, a little bit of real in there,
right,
with some of the more progressive modern tracks, and it just works out pretty good. And you know, it's just finding, you know, it's just a puzzle, and you know, and finding, it's a process that you learn, you know, and it's you know, everybody finds their place if they do it enough.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I found it interesting. I heard you say one time that even with all your co-writes that you do, a lot of times you take that and you go work on stuff on your own,
yes,
away from
I do.
The co-write. Talk about that process.
Yeah, I do that. Because I am so, you know, people, you know, if... When you're at a co-write, you know, you don't want to, you have an allotted amount of time usually, but, you know, there's processes to certain people's brains that, it, you know, you have to get through. And mine is very, you know, I'll go over a line that I, you know, I've never written a song that I haven't read it, the lyrics, mm-hmm. all the way down.
Out loud?
Out loud.
Okay.
Yeah. And when you do that, you picture the movie, the 3-minute movie. And if, mm-hmm. you know, if there's any time that 3-minute movie that you don't see it while you're reading the lyrics down, there's a problem right there,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my experience. But, and just, you know, finding that line that, or that, verse that just kills you.
So because that takes time for you. You don't want to waste time just sitting there with somebody staring right. at you. You take
and,
it away.
And I, you know, and I don't just do it and say, hey, this, you know, I just redid this. And
right, right,
but
right.
But I bring it back and, you know, and present it to them. And there may be a couple of changes, but it's, I think it's okay. You know, I remember years ago, it used to be more okay to spend 3-4 writing sessions on one song.
Mm-hmm. And that's not so much the case anymore.
No, it's really, you know, it's everybody wants fast mm-hmm. now. Hmm. And that's okay. I mean, you know, but for me, I second guess myself a lot.
Okay.
So I go over it and over it and over it, you know, right. lyrics and that's just, you know, my process. And sometimes that gets tedious for someone else.
Sure.
And, but so lately I've been, starting songs and then working on them myself and coming back and, you know, and it just works for me to do that.
So. Mm. So how do you know when it's done? When you're someone that second guesses and
I don't know. I don't know if any of my songs are done at this moment.
Yeah. When the check comes, then yeah, it's done. Yeah.
Yeah. Even then, I I'm like, you know, that line could still be, yeah. you know. No, sometimes you just have to let it be done. Your next song is the most important song.
Right, right.
Always to me. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that you have to keep moving forward. And it's easy to, you know, if you get a song to go over it and over it and over it, there's, you know, I know people in Nashville that, and I have as well played, you know, have been messing with the same song for 20 years.
Oh man. Right.
You know, and for me, you know, it's just one of those things where I have to keep going. I have to find that next thing, you know, that new, if 10 years from now, if the new thing is grunge country, I want to know why. And I want to try to write that, you know.
Why don't we take the next 20 minutes and write a grunge country song after this?
I like it.
Look at this. Nice. Even producer Logan's into this one. Perked all of a sudden. Interest. That's right. Hey, let's take a break. I know.
All right.
You're listening to the Music Row Show. We're here with Chris Wallen. Stick around. Welcome back to the Music Row Show.
When they ask him a secret life,
I'm sure you recognize that song. That was a big Kenny Chesney hit called Don't Blink, and that's the demo. Hit songwriter Chris Wallen's with us right now. Is that you singing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Just like that,
it's on my CD as well.
Aha. And where might people get this CD?
Well, iTunes.
iTunes.
One place.
All right.
You can get it. And you can actually order some of my stuff. You can go to chriswallen.com and it will send you to iTunes or Reverb Nation
okay.
page.
That's W A L L I N.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now let's be real clear. You are not the reclusive Australian mining billionaire.
Unfortunately, I'm not.
And you're not the young kid, the young rocker kid.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Though I've talked to that guy. Him and I are Facebook buddies.
Have you ever talked to the reclusive Australian mining billionaire? Not.
Well, he is reclusive.
Well, you know, and there's the restraining order now. I tried to, you know, to bond with him a little more. It just didn't work.
Oh, man.
You know, the best video I've seen in a long, long, long time was your grandma making biscuits. You had a great Grascals cut with the song about that very same woman, if I'm not mistaken.
Satan and Grandma.
Yep. Talk about her influence on you growing up and as a songwriter.
Oh, man. You know, both my grandmothers were great influences on me. The one in the video was my Granny Wallen, and she played guitar as well. I've been very lucky to grow up with very real people, you know, that were great, you know, great influences and musically, you know, on both sides of my family. And the biscuit. If you go on to YouTube, it's Granny's Famous Biscuits, and it's my grandmother Phyllis Wallen, and she made these amazing biscuits in a muffin tin my whole life, and I filmed her making her biscuits. She never used measurements.
Okay.
She went by consistency. And I asked her in the video, I said, how much flour is that? And she just cupped her hand and said, about that much. So you can actually watch the video and make her biscuits by the consistency.
Awesome.
It's really.
I just need to get that bucket of lard.
Right.
And Yeah. There's no margarine.
Right.
There's no skim milk.
No.
And we kind of probably need her hand measurements too, so we can figure out how much that is in relation to her hand. You know, you want to be precise about it. Oh, man. Well, that's awesome. Well, listen, we're going to take another quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Chris Wallen here on the Music Row Show.
Story that my daddy tells religiously, like clockwork every time he gets an opening in a conversation.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
Things used to be.
Sure, you recognize that song. That's Something to Be Proud Of, big hit from Montgomery Gentry, co-written by our guest this hour, Chris Wallen, with Jeff Steele, I believe.
Yes.
That's awesome. So we don't have a whole lot of time left, and we were just talking. We might love to have you play another song. You feel like doing one for
definitely.
Us? All right.
Definitely. I'll do one that's fairly new. He said, "Hey, old man, I got something for you. It'll get you real high for $1 or $2. Standing there on the street, where lemonade stand used to be. The old man said, I know who you are." Sorry, I knew I would mess it up. Sorry. "Said, hey, old man, I got something for you. It'll get you real high for $1 or $2. Standing there on the street, where lemonade stand used to be. The old man said..."
Do another one.
I'm so sorry. I can't remember the words of that one. Golly, sorry. Okay, I'll do another one.
All right.
I wrote this one with Eric Paisley.
smiling child with king cake on your face, waving at the giants in a Mardi Gras parade. Confetti in the air, like time floating by. Now you're all grown up, but there's still magic in your eyes. While time flies and stars fall, and the world comes undone. Somehow you stay wild and young. You were born with a gypsy poet soul, pop rocks in your shoes and freckles on your nose. Song on your lips, wonder in your heart, faith like a river winding through the dark. While time flies and stars fall, and the world comes undone. Somehow you stay wild and young. Mind wanders and hair goes gray, eyes dim, bones ache. But I still see you as I do today, cause your spirit's never looked its age. While time flies and stars fall, and the world comes undone. Somehow you stay wild and young. When the time comes and heaven calls, and it's all said and done, I know you will smile a smile that's wild and young.
Yeah. There it is.
Very, very nice. That's awesome. So, what I heard you talk about this one time. What is the secret to being conversational in lyrics?
It's really important. I try not to write anything in a song that I wouldn't say, or the narrator of the song wouldn't mm-hmm. say, whoever that person is.
Okay.
And a lot of people, when you're writing a song, you know, a lot of people talk about what's going on in the song and mm-hmm. what's happening in the song. But the most important thing really is who is singing the song, who is the narrator of the song. And whoever that person is
yeah.
dictates on what language mm-hmm. you use okay. in the song and how they talk.
Right.
Right, right.
And a friend of mine, a great person who does that so well, is Tony Lane.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Tony Lane, I remember back in the old days, to Broken Spoke, he had this song. I think it's called "The Daddy My Daddy Never Was." Was the name of it? It was an amazing mm-hmm. song. But one of the lyrics in it was, "Loretta says this weren't no kind of way to raise a family," and I just remember thinking that line tells you so much about that person.
Right.
And you know, and it's just so colorful. And that's the songs I love to write are 3-minute movies that you can see in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's the trick, is to actually, you know, when you first start writing songs, you write songs for yourself.
Right.
And you write songs that touch you as a person. But when you write songs for a living, you can't just do that. You have to take an emotion that maybe you have never felt, that someone else has felt, and make a third party feel that.
Right. The audience.
The audience, yes. Yeah. And that's the hard, you know, that's pretty hard to do.
it right anyway, correctly.
You had you were talking about in another. I read you talking about something about you'd had an idea that you held on for a long time, waiting for the right time.
Yes.
To bring it out, and that's really something that as new writers, that doesn't always happen. You know, they tend to, if you get a good idea, you just pull it out the next co-write session with Joe Blow.
Yeah.
And you may have just wasted an opportunity.
I'm telling you, ideas are like gold. To me, they're one of the most important things. It is the most important thing because I'm really picky about ideas.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, there's nothing worse than being in a session, if it's a co-writing session, and realizing that you just wasted a great idea.
Oh!
You know that you can't get that back, and you're already halfway through the song, and they're fighting you on the way you want to the song to come out.
Have you ever asked for an idea back? Or
I have.
And what, you know, what's the etiquette there?
Well, it was the only real way that legally you can,
uh-huh,
is if, like, you didn't actually work on the song, and you know, if it's just an idea and they rejected the idea or whatever, or you couldn't get anything on it, that's one thing. But a copyright actually starts when you put pen to paper.
Okay.
And it doesn't really, some people think that it starts in you know, the Library of Congress, but actually that's just a formality. The actual copyright is when you put it to pen to paper.
All right. So you have to really be delicate, or they need to just disappear somewhere in the swamps of Florida, never to be seen again.
That never happened.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Exactly.
Man, thanks so much for coming and hanging out with us again. Had a great time. ChrisWallen.com. Go check out that website and go buy his music. It's good stuff.
Absolutely. And be on the lookout for some new music from Garth, right?
Right.
That's what we're hoping for.
Sweet. Well, thanks for joining us on the Music Rush Show. We'll see you next week. Until we meet again,
go write something.
Go write something.